This poster is based on a talk that I delivered for the Learning and Teaching Festival at Salford University in September 2023. It's called Publishing Your Educational Research, An Authentic Journey of Self-Reflection and Support. I'm Nicola Grayson and I'm an academic developer for the Learning and Teaching Enhancement Centre at the University of Salford. I wanted to deliver this talk in order to reflect on my own publishing journey and use it to support others. I wanted people to think about how their positionality and unique authentic values could serve them as strengths. And I wanted people to know that there are different formats and options available to them when it comes to publishing. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the process to demystify that, and to reflect on my experiences in the hope that they might support others. I gave people a chance to share some of their worries and concerns in relation to publishing, and I tried to offer some advice in terms of from my perspective as an experienced writer and editor. So looking back over my publishing journey, I talked about three phases. The first concerns me being driven by a need to get or have publications, and this is what I've called the publish or perish phase. And this was about me wanting to survive in higher education and get a good job. So it's driven by this need to get or have publications, this publish or perish approach. But the second phase of my publishing journey is characterized by collaboration, and it's more driven by my values. So I collaborated with other writers in terms of documenting the work of more senior colleagues and in supporting junior colleagues who were still in the publish or perish phase to get or have those publications. And here I started to work with an increased amount of emergent authenticity. The third phase is characterized now by me writing by invitation and by me editing the work of others. And I think the invitations are have been afforded by the networks that I built up through the collaborative writing phase. But it's also now I'm driven by my values, experience and expertise. And editing the work of others not only enables me to remain true to my own authenticity, but it enables me to support others to cultivate their own authentic voices too, which is something that I really enjoy. I then moved on to talking about why I think it's important to publish your work, and I've tried to reflect this in a simple diagram, which is figure one. So publishing not only encourages you to share what you've learned and document your hard work, but through sharing what you've done, you can influence your peers and influence the sector. And in doing so, you're providing a sense of support for your peers. They say build on what you've learned or discovered, and indirectly also this supports the students, but it also enables you to participate in the conversation. And this is really important, particularly if your voice is an underrepresented one. Being able to participate in the conversation and being heard are really important attributes. Not only does it allow you to play a more active role in your community, but it enables us to move the sector forward in a positive destination. And in terms of your personal and professional development, I've cited McIntosh and Nutt here, who have said that the HE sector is becoming more integrated. So it helps you to document your skills as an integrated practitioner. But sharing what you've learned in order to influence your peers and the sector and offer support to your peers directly and indirectly to the students they support and participate in the conversation, integral to that is being heard and having your voice heard. So what I suggested was if people do want to participate in the conversation and they've got things to say, look for a supportive place to start. And I gave some examples of this in my talk, and I pointed out the importance of looking for a journal that has something like an EDI statement of that's welcoming to underrepresented voices. So this shows that they're going to be supportive of their writers, and not only look for a place that does have an EDI statement of inclusion, but also think about the different formats that are available to you. What format best suits your aims? I spent quite a bit of time on this to show people that if they want to publish their work, they don't just have to stick to writing a longer research paper, but they could look at things like opinion pieces, blog posts, case studies, etc. So think about which format best suits your aims as a writer, and think about what you want to say. I then moved on to a very simple strategy and advise people to be strategic. So if you want to start to get involved in publishing your work, start small, register as a reviewer, start to read the papers in the journals that you're interested in, and see what kinds of things that they publish. It helps to build your confidence, you know what to expect, and you're starting to step into a more active role in that scholarly community, particularly if you register as a reviewer. The second step of that strategy, I based on my own positive experiences and the knowledge that people are pushed for time when it comes to writing, and very few of us given research time, I suggested sharing the load by collaborating with a colleague, someone who is working in a similar area to you, or who you've worked on a project with. If you write together, you both get the publication, but you get to pool your resources and your efforts, and it's something that has been the most invaluable part of my publishing journey. I can say that hand on heart. And finally, I spoke about taking the leap, and this is really about pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, ignoring the voices of imposter syndrome, starting to play that active role in your scholarly community. Do the reviewing, do the reading, and then take the leap and submit your writing. Presenting your work beforehand really can help with this, because it helps you to build your confidence that people are interested in what you've got to say, but also you might get some interesting questions or requests for clarification that are really useful to get before you publish the work. I then moved on to talking a little bit about the process of publishing in a journal, and this was based on my perspective as an editor, and I talked through the different steps involved, starting with researching the journal that you're interested in, and looking at the guidelines and what's acceptable to the readership. And once an editor has deemed your piece of writing acceptable, it's then sent out for peer review. I talked about the process of peer review and how you might need more than one round, and how this is unpaid labour, as is editing for most journals. So you really need to be patient. After going through one or two rounds of peer review, you'd work with the editor to get your piece up to a publishable standards, and then a copy editor will ask you to make some final changes, checks and clarifications. And I talked about how important it is to think about the metadata for your paper, making sure that the title and the abstract reflect, and the key words reflect, the kind of terms that someone who's looking for content that you have written around that topic might put into a search engine. So what would someone who's looking for the paper you've written enter into a search engine to find it, making sure those terms that you've thought about, that those kind of considerations. And finally, it's not over. Once you've published the piece, you have to think about how to disseminate it and to showcase it as part of your professional profile or your research profile. I asked people about their worries and concerns and gave them anonymous way to share those. There were no surprises here, and they were largely centered around imposter syndrome, about their role, or whether people would think what they'd done was worth sharing. But it really showed me why it was important to talk about the human side of publishing and what it feels like, and how you can remain true to yourself and use your positionality as a strength, because some of the worries that people shared were not related to the real value of the work that I saw showcased through the Learning and Teaching Festival, through the different presentations that I attended. So the next steps for me to take forward in my professional role supporting academic staff concern thinking about how to build confidence in relation to publishing and supporting people to pool their efforts through scholarly activity, partnerships, and also to do some work on demystifying the ethics process. I'm really hoping that my talk and my poster show that publishing doesn't mean that you have to lose that authentic sense of who you are and what you do. In fact, publishing can help you to refine and communicate that to a wider audience, and also to shape that, to further shape the way that you want to communicate through active participation in the ongoing conversations that are happening around your subject area.